to Proverbs chapter 10 that we read a bit earlier. And that's page 567. Page 567 is Proverbs chapter 10. And you'll need your Bibles because we'll be looking at a number of different Proverbs this evening. But we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 10. And let me just read one verse. It's Proverbs 10 and it's verse 19. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. And that's page again 567. And this is what it says. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. And what I want to do tonight then is I want us to think about the very practical and very down to earth and yet very important subject of speech. How we use our tongues. Statistics tell us apparently that the average person spends about one fifth of his or her life speaking. About 20%. And so if you do some maths, you can work out that if you live to 70 years old, you will spend 14 years talking non-stop. It's a lot of talking, isn't it? For some of you, it might be a little bit less. For some of you, it might be a bit more. If you've ever met any of my aunties, you'll know it's a lot more still. But it's a lot of talking, whoever we are. Or to put it another way, someone, I don't know how they worked it out, but they obviously did a bit of research, and they worked out that if you wrote down in a book what a person said each day of their life, in 1 year you would fill 132 books of 200 pages each. And again, just think what that must mean if you live 70 years or 80 years or 90 years. It's a lot of books, isn't it? But I guess the question is, how comfortable would you be if you had to reread those 132, 200 page books of the things that you said over just this last year? How comfortable would you be if you had to give those books out to other people to read? How comfortable would you be if I had some of those books here tonight and was able to read what you were saying, even this afternoon? Or how comfortable do we feel knowing that God has heard each one of those words? Well, knowing then that we use our tongues a lot, it's not surprising, is it, that the Bible has a lot to say about speaking. The Bible reminds us that the tongue is something that can be used for great good, and it's something that can be used for great evil. Someone once illustrated it to me by saying, you know, you can think of the tongue as a pen. If you think of a pen is a very small object. And yet with that object, you can write a check for £1 million that goes to charity and provides and blesses and does good. And yet with a pen, someone also can sign a declaration of war that goes on to cause damage and destruction and death. And it's like that with the tongue, isn't it? The tongue is just a little thing in your mouth. And yet, on the one hand, it can do great good. Just think of all the good you can do with your tongue. You can share the gospel with someone, and they come to faith in Jesus, and they will be in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever because you've told them with your tongues about Jesus. With your tongue, you can encourage someone who's down. You can warn someone who's heading towards danger. You can thank someone who's helped you. You can give wisdom to someone who's confused and unsure. There's so many good things, aren't there, you can do with your tongue, with your speech. And yet on the other hand, just think of all the evil you can do with the tongue. And maybe you can think in the Bible, how many sins are connected with speech? And maybe we could go along the aisle tonight and shout out and we'd have a whole list, wouldn't we? A huge list. There's lying and gossiping and slandering and blasphemy and false teaching and filthy language and swearing and cursing and boasting and unkind words and sowing discord among brothers. And so there's so many evil things as well, aren't there, that can pour from our mouths. It can do great good and it can do great damage. And so I think it's important, isn't it, very often to bring our tongues, if you like, into the garage of God's word and to give them a spiritual MOT. And to ask ourselves, is what I say with my tongue, is it in line with what God wants me to say? Because as Christians, we need to think, don't we, what is the motivation for this? And as Christians, we have to remember, don't we, that we are saved from our sins. We've been forgiven through Jesus. We've been given the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We're new creations. And the Bible says that God, his desire for forgiven, born again, saved Christians, is that all of their lives are brought under the lordship of Jesus. All of our lives are to be brought into conformity with God's desire, whether that's our thought life, whether it's your sex life, whether it's how you use your money, how you use your time, how you work, how you treat other people, and how you use your tongue. And the tongue then is very small, and yet God has a big concern for how you use it. And in the Bible then we find, don't we, that God, he speaks again and again about the tongue. And maybe nowhere does he speak more about the tongue than this book of Proverbs. And as we come to this book of Proverbs tonight, we're coming to a book, aren't we, that is very practical and is practically showing us how we can live wise lives. How can we practically live lives that show the world that we fear the Lord? And the book of Proverbs shows us that if we are wise, if we do fear the Lord, then we will have a concern about how we use our tongues, how we speak. Now, there's so much in the book of Proverbs, if you read it, about the tongue. There's too much for us to go through it all tonight. But what I want to do is just to take four proverbs, and from each proverb, draw out one point, one principle that we can use to filter our speech and to think, how does this apply to the way I speak? And hopefully at the end then we'll have four principles, four points that we can apply and use to think about how we use our tongues. And is it a way that is wise? Is it pleasing to God? And the first key word then, the first principle is restrained. The tongue of a wise man, the tongue of a wise woman, the tongue of a wise boy or girl is a restrained tongue. And that's what it says in Proverbs 10 verse 19. It says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. And so the first thing we're told about talking then is that we don't always need to talk. Sometimes the best thing to do is to keep our mouths shut, to keep your tongue restrained. And I was thinking about this word restrained, and it made me think about the park near our house in Sheffield. And sometimes you see people there walking their dogs, and they've got them on the lead. And maybe you've got a dog, and it's a bit like this, and the dog seems to be full of energy. And they want to kind of break free and chase after squirrels and chase after little children and chase after other dogs. And you can see these owners there restraining them, having to pull them back with all their might, stopping them from going crazy and running everywhere. And Solomon says, it's a bit like that with the tongue, if you're wise. Don't always let it loose. Don't let it always break free. Don't let it off the lead. Hold it back. Restrain it. Sometimes the best thing to do, the best thing to say, is nothing at all. And that's because Solomon reminds us here in the first part of this proverb that in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And so what he's saying, that as sinners, if we talk a lot, eventually we're gonna fall into sin, aren't we? And so maybe, let's think of this practically, maybe you tell a joke and it goes well. And so you try again, but it becomes a bit rude or a bit offensive or a bit racist. Or maybe you're talking late at night and it begins as an edifying conversation, but as you get tired and tired, it becomes drivel and gossip and just rubbish. Or maybe you decide to talk about to someone about their actions, and yet as you go on, you become unnecessarily offensive as you go on and on at them. Or maybe you're telling a story at work or at home and you want it to have more of an impact. And so as you go on, you start embellishing it with things that aren't quite true. Or maybe you want to get something off your chest and you go to someone and you start talking and you go on and on and on. And after a while you're just descending into bitterness and moaning and being grumpy and being angry. Or maybe you start telling someone about yourself. And as you go on, it becomes clear that you're just boasting and bragging and becoming proud. And so we can see, can't we, there are so many ways that in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And so Solomon is telling us here that wisdom in speech begins by learning that we don't always need to speak. The wise man who isn't talking knows when it's right not to start talking. The wise woman who isn't talking knows when it's right not to start talking. And the wise woman who knows when she should stop talking, she does stop. And do you know those things? Do you know when it's wise not to start? Do you know when it's wise to stop? And when I was growing up, we were always taught to ask three questions before you say something. And the questions were, is it true? Is it kind? And is it necessary? Maybe you were taught that, is it? Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? And I guess really it's the third of those three things that Solomon is talking about here. Is it necessary to say what you're about to say? Is it going to lead to good? Or is it going to descend into sin? And so we can think about it practically, can't we? Again, you might have a juicy story about someone. And it might be true. It might be right. But is it really necessary to share it with your friends? Will it be for the good of the person? Will it edify? Or will it just lead to gossip and wrong attitudes? Or maybe someone's annoyed you and they've done something that offends you. And you have to ask, is it really right to go to them and give them a piece of your mind? Will it help the situation? Will it do them good? Or will it just lead to disunity and sin? Or maybe you've heard a joke, again at work, and you think it's funny, and you think it'll make you popular if you share it, but it's a little bit rude, it's a little bit suspect. And you have to ask, is it really necessary to pass it on? Will it edify? Will it be a good witness? Will it be helpful? And I'm sure there have been times, haven't there, in all our lives, when we've said things, oh, and we wish we'd never said them. And maybe you wake up in the night and you think, oh, why did I say that? Things that were dishonoring to God. Things that hurt the people that we love the most. And we've learned the hard way, the truth of this proverb, that sometimes the wisest speech begins with restraint. Begins with realizing we don't always need to let our tongues off the lead. Someone once said that speech is silver, but silence is golden. And really that's what Solomon is reminding us about here. He's saying that sometimes the most precious thing, the most valuable thing, the best thing is to keep quiet, to hold your tongue, to control your words. Now we find that very difficult, don't we? And I was very encouraged as I was reading once a prayer of David in Psalm 141. And it's Psalm 141 verse 3. You don't need to turn to it, but if you want to, it's Psalm 141 verse 3. And this is what David prays. He says, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And isn't that a wonderful prayer that we could take away and pray even this week? God, set a guard over my mouth. Set those soldiers in place who will stop me from letting things out that are just so unhelpful. And that would be a great prayer, wouldn't it, to keep praying that God would give us a spirit that is more strict and more sensitive about what we let out of our lips. So the first thing then, the tongue of the wise man we're taught here, the tongue of a wise woman is a restrained tongue. But then secondly, if you can turn to Proverbs 12 and verse 18, Proverbs 12 and verse 18, and we're reminded here that the tongue of a wise man, a wise woman, is a helpful tongue. It's a restrained tongue. Secondly, it's a helpful tongue. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. And so the second thing we're learning here is the tongue is a helpful tongue. And Solomon here is reminding us again, isn't he, of the great power power of speech. And that power can be shown in very different ways. So on the one hand, we're told by someone that it can be used like a sword that pierces and wounds. And on the other hand, the tongue can be like medicine that brings health and life. And that's a great contrast, isn't it? To wound or to heal, to kill or to give life, to build up or to break down. How do you use your tongue? And I'm sure in all our lives we've experienced, haven't we, that wounding, piercing power of someone's tongue. And we've been told at school that sticks and stones will break our bones, but words will never hurt us. And we thought how rubbish that is, because someone has maybe said something to us. Or maybe someone said something behind our back and it's got back to us. And we've been crushed in our spirits and we've been made to feel so low. And we've been so upset by something that someone has said to us. And it can ruin our day. It can ruin our week. It can ruin our year. Just some words. And of course, if it's happened to us, if you've experienced that sword-like power of the tongue piercing you, then it's very likely that we've done it to other people, haven't we, as well? And we've used our tongues maybe deliberately, maybe not deliberately, and we've crushed people, we've pierced people with things that we said. And God says that isn't wise. The tongue wasn't designed as an instrument of war. It was designed as an instrument to bring health, to help. God has given us our tongues so that we can encourage people, so that we can build people up, so that we can guide people, so that we can teach people truth, so we can show people the right way. And again, I'm sure we've all experienced that side of the tongue as well, haven't we? The healing, the helping side. And so maybe you've faced times in your life when you've been really confused about the future, what you should do. And some people have come to you and they've counseled you and they've given you advice. And they've applied the Bible to your situation. And they've applied common sense to your situation. And suddenly everything's become clear. And you have a real peace about what's going on. And just as a personal testimony to that, I can say I've been married just a few months now. And before that, I was a bit confused about the whole situation. And two or three people came round me and they really counseled me and gave me words of wisdom and biblical understanding and just really have changed the whole course of my life, because through that I've been able to get married and it's been a real blessing. And so words of counsel are just so helpful, aren't they? And I'm sure maybe some of us experience the truth of Proverbs 12 and verse 25, if you can see across the page, where it says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And maybe there have been times when you've come to church or you've come home from work and you're feeling down, and yet someone has spoken a good word to you. And they've maybe reminded you about God's promises, or maybe they've said something kind to you and it's really cheered you up. And it's made you feel glad. Or then again, we can think maybe of our parents. What a blessing parents are. And maybe you can think of times your parents have advised you and given you counsel and spoken kindly to you. And it's brought this healing, this health to your life. The tongue can be used for such good, can't it? Now, of course, as we think about the helpful tongue, it doesn't mean that being helpful won't ever mean we have to hurt or offend people. The book of Proverbs says elsewhere that faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so sometimes you might see a Christian brother or sister and they're heading towards danger, they're heading towards sin, and it's not wrong in those situations to warn them or to rebuke them even or to challenge them. That's not wrong. Because your intention in that situation isn't to unnecessarily hurt them and be unkind, but you're seeking to help them and to bring them to spiritual healing, aren't you? And so we can do that. That is a good thing. And yet as we do that, we need to remember that we should do it in love and do it discreetly and do it gently and do it patiently. Or again, we can think, can't we, that when you share the gospel with someone, sometimes when you share the gospel and you tell someone they're a sinner, or you tell them Jesus is the only way to God, or you tell them to repent, it can be offensive. It can be hurtful. And yet it's not wrong to say that, is it? Because again, your desire is to bring ultimate healing to that person, to bring them to Jesus and to eternal life. And those wounds that you're causing there, they're faithful wounds. And so as we think then about the tongue being a helpful tongue, sometimes it does mean we have to challenge, we have to rebuke. And yet even then we have to do it, as the Bible says, with meekness and with grace and in love. And so next time then you open your mouth, we have to think, don't we? What are you trying to achieve with your words? What effect are they going to have? Are they going to be like a sword that pierces, that destroys, that damages, that ruins someone's day? Then restrain your tongue. Don't let those words out. And instead, actively look to use your tongue in the wise way, in a way that will bring health to the person, a way that will help that person, to encourage them, to guide them, to comfort them, to share the gospel with them, to build them up, to edify them, to correct them, to thank them. And so our tongues can be used for great good, can't they? And I don't want us to go away tonight and have a negative view of the tongue. Oh, I mustn't say this, I mustn't say that, I mustn't talk about this, I mustn't talk about that. The book of Proverbs gives us a wonderfully positive view of all the good things that we can do with our tongues. And so as you go out this week, think, how can I use my tongue this week for good, for blessing, for help? And actively pursue those things. And so the tongue of a wise man, a wise woman, first of all, is a restrained tongue. Secondly, it's a helpful tongue. And then thirdly, I want you to turn, or just look down to Proverbs 12 and verse 22. Proverbs 12 and verse 22. And we see the tongue of a wise man, a wise woman, is a truthful tongue. Because it says there in verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. And I was reading recently a survey that was taken a few years back now in America. And it was called, this survey, The Day America Told the Truth. And this is what it said. It revealed that out of those who were interviewed, 91% said they lied routinely about matters they considered trivial. 86% who were interviewed said they lied regularly to their parents. 75% said they lied to friends. 73% said they lied to brothers and sisters. 69% said they would lie to their husband or wife. And 36% of the people said they would lie about things that were important. And I'm sure if we did a similar survey, maybe in Coventry or in the UK, we'd find similar results, that lying for a lot of people is a habit, is a daily routine, is something that doesn't really bother them. And yet here we're reminded that as Christians, lying should bother us, shouldn't it? Because we need to think, what does God think about lying? Does he dislike it? Does he think we shouldn't really do it? Does he prefer if we tell the truth? Well, no, we're told here, aren't we, in verse 22, that lying is an abomination to the Lord. And that word is a very strong word, isn't it? It means he detests it. He really, 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 really hates it. It's repulsive to God. And yet, on the other hand, we're told that those who walk in truth and speak truth are his delight. He rejoices in it. He loves it. He finds truth a beautiful thing. And of course, that's because God is a God of truth, isn't he? Everything in the Bible that we learn about God tells us that God is a God who says and does what is true. He's faithful. He's unchanging. He's characterized by integrity. And that's what God wants for his people. He doesn't want us to be like the devil, who you remember is called the father of lies. And that's what brought the fall at the very beginning, wasn't it? The lies of the devil that led Adam and Eve into sin. And you can see why God hates lying so much, because it was lying that caused the fall. And what God wants for his people then are not lying people, but people of truth. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 says, put away lying and each one speak the truth to his neighbor. And so God wants us, doesn't he, to be people of integrity, of faithfulness, of honesty. And maybe at work, that sometimes becomes a real challenge to you. I had a friend who was in sales. And very often he said he was really challenged because he was often being forced to twist the truth. To sell things to people that he really knew that they didn't need. And he was really put under pressure to lie. And maybe you find that a real pressure in work. Or maybe sometimes you're retelling an account of something. And you embellish it with half-truths to make yourself look better and to make other people look worse. Or maybe you've done something and someone confronts you with the fact that you've done something wrong, but you say that you haven't done it because you want to cover it up. Or maybe there are times when you've been asked to do something and the person comes and says, have you done it? And you tell them you have done it because you want to get them off your back and you don't want to admit to not having done it. And so there are many times, aren't there, when we can be pressurized or face temptation to lie. And yet the Bible reminds us here that God says lying lips are an abomination. And maybe sometimes lying seems like a pragmatically good thing to do. And yet the Bible says it's not based on pragmatics, on what works well, what will seem to turn out best. It's based on what God thinks about it, doesn't it? And it says that he finds lying lips an abomination. But what he delights in, what he loves, what he treasures is truth. Now again, as we just apply that to ourselves, we have to remember, don't we, that doesn't always mean, of course, that if something is true, that we automatically have to say it. Because we have to apply the other things we've been learning as well, don't we, to our situation. So I might know something that's true, but actually it will cause less damage if I don't say it. So maybe you know, again, a juicy bit of gossip about someone. And it might really be true. And yet, is it helpful to say it? Will it bring blessing to say it? Or will it cause damage? And so as we think about something being true, that isn't the only factor to bring in, is it? We've got to remember the other things as well. But when we do decide to speak, when we do think something is right to say, the underlying criteria must always be, is it true? Because lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. So the tongue of a wise man, a wise woman, what is it like? It's a restrained tongue. It's a helpful tongue that brings health, not like a sword that pierces. And it's a truthful tongue. And then fourthly and finally, we see that it's a gentle tongue. It's a gentle tongue. And that's Proverbs 15 and verse 1. If you turn over, Proverbs 15 and verse 1. And this is what it says. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And I'm guessing that many of us would have experienced this working out very practically in our lives. And I can think of times maybe when I've been queuing up for the bathroom when I was growing up, and someone had been in the bathroom for far too long. And maybe you've experienced this, and it's getting annoying, it's getting frustrating, and you shout something out to the person, something unkind, and then they say something unkind to you, and so then you say something unkind back to them, and then someone else joins in and says something unkind to both of you for waking them up, and the whole thing snowballs into a whole mass of unkindness and bitterness and tears. And we see, don't we, that harsh words stir up anger. And it's so easily done, isn't it? Someone says something nasty to you, or someone speaks to you in a grumpy voice, or someone shouts at you, and our immediate reaction is to retaliate, to speak gruffly back, to shout back, to get our own back. And does it make the situation better? No, it doesn't, does it? It makes it worse. It inflames it. And it's like fuel on a fire. You throw it on and the whole thing flares up. And again, that's not what God wants from his people, is it? That isn't the way of wisdom. The Bible says God has put his spirit into our hearts. And one of the fruits of the spirit is gentleness. And gentleness then must be reflected in the way that we speak to one another. Or you can think again on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says that his people aren't to be people who stir up anger, but they're people who are to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, says Jesus, for they shall be called sons of God. And so we think that God is a God of peace, isn't he? He's made peace between us and him. He's made peace between human beings. He's made peace between human beings and the world around them. God is a God of peace, and he wants his people to be like our Father, to be peacemakers. And so God doesn't want us to be people who put up barriers and increase tensions and worsen anger. But he wants us to be leaders in the way of pacifying situations and calming situations and turning away anger. And one of the ways we can do that, says this proverb, is to answer softly. A soft answer turns away wrath. Now again, that doesn't mean we won't ever have to speak directly or to correct or to rebuke or to challenge. But even when we have to speak strong words, words of rebuke, words of correction, words of challenge, we shouldn't speak them with an unnecessary harshness, should we? Or an unnecessary bitterness or an unnecessary anger. And yet that's not really our main problem, is it? Correcting, rebuking people. But our main problem is probably in the day-to-day of life. At home, at work, at university, when someone aggravates us, when someone annoys us, when someone makes us angry and we just itch to retaliate, don't we? And when we feel like that, let's remember the wisdom of this proverb. Let's remember the truth that God wants us to be gentle, to be peacemakers. And so let's use our lips then in ways that don't stir up anger and tension and divisions, but that bring peace, that seem to bring calm, that seek to turn away wrath from situations. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so as we close tonight then, let's think, what is the tongue of a wise man, a wise woman like? And we've seen, well, there are many proverbs, but we've seen four things tonight, haven't we? We've seen that it's a restrained tongue. You don't always need to let it off the lead. We've seen that it's a helpful tongue that doesn't cause piercings like a sword, but brings health like medicine. We've seen there's a truthful tongue that stays within the boundaries of what is faithful, integrity. And it's a gentle tongue, not always seeking to stir up a situation, but to bring peace. Now, as we hear that tonight, and as I hear that, and as I read these words this week, it's very clear, isn't it, that we all fall short of those things. And we can bring our tongue into the garage of God's word for an MOT, and we see that our tongues are very rusty, maybe, or they're falling apart. And we really see that we're failing, maybe, with the way that we speak. And so the first thing to do tonight as we go away and maybe realize our sin and our falling short in the tongue is not to go away first of all and think, right, I must try harder to use my tongue rightly. The first thing you need to do, that I need to do, is to repent of the ways that we use our tongue in ways that aren't pleasing to God. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We can use our tongues tonight, first of all, to confess our sins and to ask God to forgive us. And maybe tonight there are some of you who aren't Christians. And this is maybe one of the ways that God will convict you. The way you use your tongue to blaspheme or to swear or to say unkind things. The Bible says God is not pleased. It's a sign that you're a sinner. And the first thing you need to do is not to go away and think, I need to change how I speak. But the first thing you need to do is to repent and ask God for his forgiveness. And once you've done that and you know the power of the Spirit in your life, then by that Spirit's power, we need to go away, don't we, and seek to reform how we use our tongues. Let's take that prayer of David and pray it even this week. Set a guard over my mouth. Ask God to help you think before you speak. Ask God to help you go away and use your tongue for good and not for evil. And maybe remember those four words this week as you speak to your friends, to your family, to your work colleagues, to your university friends. Is my tongue restrained? Is my tongue helpful? Is my tongue truthful? And is my tongue gentle? And hopefully as we bring our tongues under the lordship of Jesus Christ, we can be salt and light for him, even in the way that we speak. Well, let's pray as we finish and ask God with our tongues to help us in this area of our life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your word is so practical and down to earth. And we thank you for this book of Proverbs. And we thank you for the many ways that it encourages us and helps us and challenges us. And Lord, we think as in your word that you have so much to say about how we use our tongues. And the first thing we want to do tonight, Lord, is to confess with our lips that we have failed you. And we can thank you, Lord God, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us. And so, Lord, we ask you would forgive us, first of all, when we haven't been restrained. We ask you to forgive us when we haven't been helpful with our tongues, when we've maybe pierced people with them. Forgive us when we haven't been truthful and we've told lies and twisted the truth, which is an abomination to you. And forgive us, Lord God, when we haven't been gentle and we've made situations worse and just been so foolish in the way that we've spoken. Lord, forgive us for these things. We thank you for your Holy Spirit in our hearts that brings the fruit of gentleness and peace. And we pray that our tongues, Lord God, as we go away from here, may become more gentle, more peaceful, more helpful, more restrained, more full of truth. We thank you for the great gift of speech. What a blessing to be able to speak. And what good we can do with our tongues. And so, Lord, our prayer is that for each one of us, we would go away and use our tongues for that great good. To tell people the gospel, to build people up, to encourage people, to warn people, to thank people, to edify people, to instruct people, to encourage people. Lord God, may our tongues, each one of us, be a blessing to the people we meet each day of our lives. And we ask these things that you would be glorified through us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.